to be with you in this fellowship this afternoon. And I have been on the road now for about 4 weeks, beginning 3 weeks in Africa, where our association is doing training work all throughout West Africa, from Cameroon to Nigeria to Togo, Ghana, and Liberia. And the Minnesota Church Ministries Association, which I am the director, began as the Minnesota Sunday School Association back in 1953. So we began as a Sunday school training organization, and that has expanded to cover almost all aspects of church ministry, helping to train pastors and laymen alike in the work of the church interdenominationally throughout Minnesota. And then 7 years ago, we had an anonymous contact by a Nigerian brother who said, "We saw your website and we see what you're doing in America. We'd love for you to come and help us start the same kind of training ministry in Africa." So for 6 years now, we have been going, and it has developed into quite a network across West Africa, where we are able to encourage the church, train pastors, and develop a fellowship of pastors, mostly independent Pentecostal pastors across West Africa. And we're grateful for how that has developed. And in the process, we have a chance on occasion to drop by the UK on the way home. And so it was a pleasure through Pastor Dharma and also Pastor Dave to make a connection here with your fellowship. God bless you. I am grateful to God for the obvious presence of the Spirit here, and both in your spirits as well as the word that has been shared already today, it has been an encouragement to my heart. And therefore, it resonates with the theme of that old song, "There's a sweet, sweet Spirit in this place. And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place." And isn't that true? Every time we gather together with God's people, we experience the revival in our spirits, the revival of our minds and our hearts, and we are prepared to serve God, to do the work He's called us to do in His way in the coming week. So gathering together is so important. And to feel and to see the quality of the fellowship here is an encouragement to me as an outsider. And I know it is even more of an encouragement to you who experience it from week to week. So God bless you as you continue to serve Him here. And this afternoon I want to give you a word of encouragement found from the Word of God. You know, there is a tendency in the West these days to believe that bigger is better, and that the flashy superstar is the only one who is accomplishing anything for God. We look sometimes at the American Christian television networks, where people like Joel Osteen and his church of 40,000 people gathering on a Sunday establishes a standard that somehow we must reach toward. There are, if you look up on the World Wide Web and type in the words Christian celebrity, there are 342,000 websites that you can be directed toward. And that seems to be a high value in the minds of many people. And yet, it is not the way God, by His Word, has intended to operate. It is the ordinary person like you and I who have been called to faith and called to ministry. And we need to enter into that role as faithful believers with confidence that God is working in us regardless of what the trappings of that ministry may look like from time to time. I want to refer you to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 and following. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26 and following. And we see from the Apostle Paul in his words to the Corinthians some encouraging words to us as well as challenge in our thinking. Where he says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth." Now, right off the bat, Paul is saying, when you are called, when you were called to faith, none of you had great credentials in this world. You did not have much to bring to the table that was very impressive. And this is a fundamental truth of our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but salvation is by grace through faith. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Aren't you grateful today that you come to the Lord without any prerequisites except faith in Jesus Christ? You don't have to come with great education. You do not have to come with a large bank account. You don't have to come with power and prestige in the community. You come simply and humbly. "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling," as the old hymn goes. We enter into a relationship with God. We have a start with Him, not based on any prerequisites. Praise God, it is by His grace. It is by the power of the Spirit who convicts us of sin and then convinces us of our need for a Savior. And we accept Him as Savior and Lord, and the life in the Spirit begins to happen with us. It is nothing that we bring to the table. It is the merits of Jesus and the merits of Jesus alone that secure our position with Him and faith in His shed blood for us. It's ordinary people. You do not need to have arisen to any level of accomplishment in the world to enter into faith. But beyond that, it's ordinary people also who are called by God to serve. It does not require a PhD in order to be acceptable or effective in service to God. He goes on to say, 27, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." All of us normal, regular, ordinary people are the ones God has called into service. And if it were not so, we would have a tendency to boast. Our human egos would be involved in the whole equation in our thinking. And we would think that somehow by our effort, we could become dynamic ministers. Whereas it is only by the power of God that these things are accomplished. Now, that has been illustrated over and over in Scripture. It is also illustrated in our own lives. The Apostle Paul in the first section of chapter 2 goes on to give himself as an illustration. "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear, with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." What a testimony Paul gives here, that he actually downplayed his own giftedness. He held it back. He throttled it back so that he would not be impressing people with his words or with his communication ability. No, he wanted the truth of God to be laid bare, so that the truth of God and all of its power could be brought to bear on the hearts of people and not to be confused with the personality involved. And that is the same with us. We are capable by the power of God to communicate his love and grace and gospel regardless of the giftedness that we have. It is the willingness to be used by the Holy Spirit of God to communicate that. That is all that is necessary. So ordinary people like you and me have been commissioned into the work of communicating God's love and grace, regardless of the combination of gifts we have. Now, thank God, every one of us do have spiritual gifts. And we must discover what those are and develop those and fan the flames of those through our lives. But God, again, does not expect us to have a Bible school education necessarily or a seminary education that officially credentials us. It's ordinary people like you and me. And even by the testimonies we've heard today of people who are faithfully sharing their faith and involving themselves in the rest of humanity for the glory of God, it's happening in the individual lives of common, ordinary Christians indwelt, empowered, and motivated by the Holy Spirit of God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Like my African brothers, can you say amen?
Amen?
God bless you. Now, I have found some wonderful examples in my experience as I look across life of how the ordinary believer has accomplished the work of God in a dynamic way that is greatly appreciated by the onlooking world. Paul offered himself, of course, as the first example. Another man I remember from our church back in Minnesota, Kenny Rosen was his name. Kenny was a milkman and delivered milk door to door in the old days when they still did that in America. And he was a common laborer, but he was a faithful husband and father. He was a faithful churchman who was in the leadership of his church. He also was the kind of neighbor who helped everyone who was in need. Any project, he was there to help. He financially contributed to the welfare of people along the way. And everyone loved Kenny. And Kenny then was called home to be with the Lord. And we all gathered for the wake at the mortuary that night. And I thought I'd be able to just buzz in to say hello to the family, because he's an old family friend. But when I got there, this simple milkman had such a large crowd coming to give tribute to him and to his family, a line that lined all the way on the street down for a block, waiting. And the testimony later came from the funeral directors. That's the largest crowd that had ever turned out to pay tribute to a man. A simple, humble man. It's the glory of the ordinary expressed in life. I think it is reflected oftentimes just in the decisions that we come to, that the Spirit influences. Sometimes the Spirit of God is working in us in the decisions we make every day, and we don't even realize it's the Spirit that's motivating us and directing us. And we don't give God enough credit and glory for just the simple things we come to conclude. Number one thing I would like to point out. Now, some of you may be thinking, there's something strange about that man's accent. He does not sound like a man from Minnesota. I've heard of people from Minnesota. When I am traveling internationally, I'm usually working with Africans. And I learned a few years ago back in Lagos. In Lagos, Nigeria, I was leaving the country after my fifth trip there. And I had done my teaching, and the director of our Lagos state chapter came to me and said, "Oh, Bishop, I love your teaching so much. By the second day of your teaching, I was finally able to understand what you were saying." My Minnesota accent was not registering well. So I said, "Well, what percentage of what I taught did you understand?" And he said, "Oh, maybe 30%. I said, "30%? I'm coming all the way from America and you don't understand any more than that." Well, I didn't know what to do about that. But later that year, I was back in Nigeria, and I was telling the story of a shipwreck that we had gone through in November of 2004 between Cameroon and Nigeria. We were on a ferry boat that began to sink in the middle of the night, and we were put out into life rafts and brought back to Cameroon. It was a very harrowing experience. But I tell that story, and then I give four spiritual applications as well that are connected with it. And so I was telling this in Abuja, Nigeria, got through the guts of the story and was about to launch into the application, and my African director jumped up and he said, "I don't believe that people are hearing you. Brother Simon, stand up and interpret for him." So Brother Simon stood up, and in my Minnesota accent, I said, "And so these are the lessons from our shipwreck experience." And Brother Simon interpreted, "And so these are the lessons from our shipwreck experience." And I thought, if it's only intonation you need, I can do that. So I said, "Brother Simon, sit down." And I launched into the most exaggerated Nigerian intonation that I could muster. And afterwards, people came up and said, "Ah, we heard you so clearly. That was wonderful." One guy with a clerical collar came up to me and he said, "I am an Anglican priest. I can tell you are from Great Britain." So anyway, I have adopted the mock British / Nigerian accent in all of my teaching. Now, I realize I could have come here today and used my American accent, and Brits are well tuned to hearing American voices. But I'm so into this after 4 weeks, just bear with me for one more period here. But I was telling that story to a Kenyan pastor friend of mine about a year and a half ago, Joshua Chegi from up in Duluth, Minnesota. And he stopped me and he said, "And I must tell you that that is the Holy Spirit at work in your life. You were sensitive to the Holy Spirit's nudging. You realized that your hearers needed something. You needed to change your intonation. You adapted to their needs. That was the Holy Spirit at work in your life." Well, at the time I thought it was simply a practical decision. But you know something? Joshua Chegi has his finger on a very important truth. There are decisions you are making every week. Decisions on what to do and how to do it that are being motivated by the inner working of the Holy Spirit, and it works its way out. And it is the glory of the ordinary. The glory of God being expressed in the simple decisions and steps that you take from day to day. Can you say amen to that? And enter in with joy when you come to an idea that pops into your head. Things generally do not pop into our heads. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is if it's a good idea. But God is at work constantly in the little decisions and steps that we take. And it's the glory of the ordinary how His work gets done from day to day. And He will put a burden on our hearts. Our friend Pastor Dave, just in recent days, has become very burdened with a Slovak couple that is right in their neighborhood. And this is opening up a new area of ministry for their church. And he's giving leadership to this. But the Holy Spirit of God has visited him on this. And there is a conviction and a love and a burden that has been placed in his heart. And it is the glory of the ordinary in the everyday. Probably one of the most beautiful expressions we see is in a parent's love for children. This is the work of God is carried out in families all over on this basis. Several years ago, I took my family to Wisconsin Dells in America. And there they have the Wisconsin Docks. If you've ever been to London, they have the London Docks as well. The World War II troop carriers that have been converted into an amusement ride where you can run down the road and then dive into the river, and this amphibious vehicle becomes a boat and carries you for a while down the river. Well, we were getting on to the Wisconsin Docks in Wisconsin Dells, which on the Wisconsin River and Lake Delton down there, they will rumble down the road, dash into the river, And they go up to the lake and you have a nice ride. But we got on the dock. My children were quite a bit younger at that time. The four of us were there, and then we saw another family get on the dock. It was an interesting family. There was a grandmother, a mother, and three children who probably were 19 or 20 years of age, but it was obvious that they were developmentally disabled, what we used to call retarded, get on this particular vehicle. And I thought, oh, I wonder how this is going to go. Well, there were two boys and one girl. The girl was very, very apprehensive. She was very, very afraid of this whole process. She didn't know how it was going to go. But they sat down and then began to go down the road. And as they went down the road, the girl became more and more frightened. She stiffened up in a type of seizure where her body actually became as stiff as a board. And her mother grabbed her by the shoulder and held her close. And we finally splashed into the river, and then the daughter relaxed and she was okay and she enjoyed the ride the rest of the way. But a few minutes later, I looked over and I saw the mother. Her hands were folded, her head was bowed, and I could see her mouthing the words, "In Jesus' name, amen." And it hit me. Here is a woman of faith who has faithfully served these kids from the time they were born through all the levels of their development and bringing them now into adulthood, giving them the best possible service she could and taking them on holiday together to enjoy the sights of Wisconsin Dells. But she was doing her part in her ordinary way. That is a woman who you'll never see her story on a national magazine or a newspaper. And yet a woman of faith who is faithfully doing her work. Well, when we got off the dock, everyone dispersed to their cars. I went over to the woman and I put my arm around her and I said, "You are a wonderful woman." And she said, "Oh, well, thank you, sir, but the children are such a wonderful gift from God. And I thank God for them every day." And I said, "Well, it's obvious the love that is there within your family. And God bless you for the example that you're setting to all the rest of us. It's the glory of the ordinary. The glory of the ordinary expressed by people who are doing what God has called them to do and made them responsible to in the everyday. And it speaks loudly to those looking on. A louder sermon you could not preach that challenges others. Remember several years ago, in fact, it was many years ago now. My goodness, my wife and I have been married nearly 29 years. This is a side story, but if you look closely, you'll see that I do not have my wedding ring on, but the evidence of a wedding ring being on that finger for many years is still there. I had to have that removed in January when I went through quintuple bypass surgery. And the Lord, by the way, brought me through a miraculous recovery. Almost a record-setting thing where the doctors were amazed. But I was not surprised because of all the people both on that side of the ocean and this side who were praying for me, and I thank God. But I had my ring cut off. I still see the shadow of the ring there. There's a good sermon illustration there. Marriage should leave that kind of impression. I'm debating whether I should get that thing put back on or I should just make a tattoo there. Be simpler. But we probably will repair the ring and have a reinstatement ceremony here soon. But anyway, my reference to our wedding date is that I met a couple on our wedding day who were friends of my wife's. And it was not long after that we found out that they were expecting a baby. And looking forward to the first child. And when the baby was born, the woman actually called my wife right from the hospital to let them know that the baby had been born. However, it was not all good news. They heard from the doctors that in utero there had been twins forming, but one of them died in the process and poisoned the amniotic fluid. And at a particular point in the pregnancy affected severe brain damage to the young girl that finally was born. And she had just a brain stem, really, that she was born with. And they said, you should prepare probably for an early memorial service because she's not going to live but a few hours. Well, she lived much more than a few hours. She was able to survive the hospital, and she came home, but she was almost without brain function, except to, well, conscious brain function. She was basically at an 18-month level for her entire life. She never raised above that level. In need of 24-hour care, she could not be left alone. And all of the friends looking on thought, oh, what a sad situation. And this went in, year out. And the baby really grew into almost to the point she was a young lady by almost age 12 before she passed away. And at that point, there was a great grief that overcame the family. And in the funeral folder that the mother wrote, she wrote these beautiful words. And I offer this as an example of the glory of the ordinary. These are people largely who are caring for their daughter behind the scenes and behind closed doors for 12 years. People didn't hear much about, they heard from time to time, they got respite care, so they got some time off from time to time. But in the end, the mother wrote this, God created a special little girl for an important mission in his perfect plan. Her name was Mary. The world saw her as severely handicapped, low-functioning, and medically fragile. God, however, used this precious child to teach her parents to trust him in all matters, to teach her brother and sister to be compassionate and merciful, and to teach her many caregivers to be open-minded, patient, humble, and creative. Many who knew her experienced the joy of her smiles and giggles, the strength of her spirit, and the awesome power of God in her life. Mary no longer lives in her earthly body. She lives with Jesus, her God and Savior, basking in his glory forever. Her work on earth has been completed. Well done, good and faithful little servant. It's the glory of the ordinary. That is a woman who is not going to have her story spread on the news either. But yet she took what God handed her to do, along with her faithful husband, and followed through on it. And those looking on give glory to God in the testimony of a husband and wife, a mother and father, who have faithfully done what they've been called to do. But it's ordinary life. And God is accomplishing his work in the ordinary lives of his people. He doesn't expect us to be superstars. He doesn't expect us to have international fame or glory or attention. He expects us to be faithful where we are. So my challenge to you this afternoon is to look at your world. Number one, thank God that he already has inspired faithfulness in you. There are people, there are hundreds of people that you have, maybe thousands, that you have directly or indirectly influenced positively for good and for God through your life. And enter into those opportunities with joy and anticipation that God is going to be at work in all those gestures of kindness and love and communication of God's gospel and the grace of Jesus along the way. It's the glory of the ordinary. Be careful that you don't minimize what you have done and what God has done through you. He is always moving you forward. I remember last year, a man 95 years of age, who was one of my father's best friends, was in an old people's residence where I was ministering, and Russell was his name. Russell was a great guy and a good friend of my dad's, but he had suffered through quite a bit in his life, and he had this negative attitude about what he had accomplished, really. He said, I made it 95 years. I've gone through 30 major surgeries in my day. God has seen me through that, but my life really hasn't amounted to a single thing. And I said, Russell, I know by my own parents' testimony that your life amounted to quite a bit, because you were such a blessing to them all through those years. And you have raised children who have been full-time Christian workers. You have inspired faithfulness in them. And you have touched literally thousands of people in your life. How can you sit there at age 95 and say otherwise? You see, God is at work in all of our lives. And we need to give Him glory, give Him praise, and give Him recognition that He is doing something significant in your ordinary lives. And beyond that, you have a future ahead of you. I look at my own life. I have covenanted with God. He saw me through 53 years with my original plumbing in my heart. And I am going to see it through along with Him for another 53 years. I'm going to be around till I'm 106 years old. I'm aiming to be going to Africa still when I'm 105. And with that attitude, I'm praying God will honor that intention as I cooperate with Him in keeping my body in good shape. But you see, we have to have those positive notions that God is at work in us. God is at work in your church. In the ordinary impact that you are having every day with your family, your friends, people in the community, the extended connections that we have. Modern communication is a wonderful thing. When you stop to think worldwide, instantly you can have an impact and a blessing to people all over. I am emailing to hundreds of people in Africa these days, and instantly we do what we could never have done just a few years ago. It's a great blessing to know that this church is having impact on directly and indirectly thousands of people every week through the ordinary connection and the chain reaction impact of the loving gestures, the communication of truth and values based on the Word of God that you are sharing with your neighbors, the encouragement you offer one another as you come together on Sunday and receive teaching in midweek as well to help you be built up to better do the work that God has called you to do, to be witnesses to His power in your life and to communicate the truth of God, to nudge people toward faith and growth as disciple makers in this world. And it's happening in far greater measure than you perhaps realize. And that's why I'm so grateful that you give opportunity for testimony. Many churches do not do that anymore. And it needs to be done so that there is a place to encourage one another. That this is not just going through religious motions as you come together. You're coming together to be equipped in the Word and to be encouraged by one another and to be prepared to go out. The church gathered becomes the church scattered through the week, and you're having an impact that is multiplied over and over. Praise God! It is something that we can enter into with joy and anticipation because we know that God is at work in the Spirit indwelt and empowered believer. And so it's the glory of the ordinary, my friend. It's my prayer that you and I can take those everyday opportunities and seize them for God's glory. To recognize that we may be the only contact some people will ever have with the ever-living Word of God. And we must be faithful to do that as He gives us opportunity. Lord, we thank You for this brief fellowship together today. Just by the response of my brothers and sisters here, God, I confirm again in my spirit the fact that You are at work in their minds and hearts and lives. And I pray that going from this place today, in the coming week, their eyes will be opened even more widely to see how You are at work in their own spirits, in their own relationships, and how You are opening doors for them to be channels of blessing to those they touch. And God, I pray that this fellowship will continue to grow, both in spirit and numbers and encouragement, as others are touched week by week and month by month and year by year as they hold together, proclaiming the Word of life and going deeply in the faith that You have entrusted them with. And so, God, I pray, even as I make contact again from time to time, as I come through this area, that I will be encouraged by the work that you will do in a magnified way in each life here. And we will give you the glory, and we will anticipate your blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.